them. I'm gonna give a lesson this morning that is some exhortation. It's going to be, I think, we're going to base everything that we say on the scriptures, although we may not go to every scripture. I'm going to talk to you out of a life of experience in dealing with young people and missionaries and watching young people grow up to serve the Lord, and watch young people sadly sometimes grow up and not serve the Lord. I'm going to give you young people some good advice this morning. I'm going to give parents some good advice this morning. I developed this message, Good Night, probably 10 years ago. I think I've preached it here once a long time ago. It's entitled this, How to Keep Your Kids Off the Mission Field. How to Keep Your Kids Off the Mission Field. Now, just saying that, you say, preacher, no parent would want to keep their kid off the mission field. Watch this. Look right up here. You'd be shocked. You'd be shocked. You'd be shocked how many apparently dedicated parents, dedicated Christians, inwardly recoil at the idea of their children going to the mission field. If you're not careful, if you're carrying that in your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, whether you realize it or not. Certain things that you say, certain attitudes you have, it's going to come out. Let me remind you, since this is Missions Month, and also we have just spent some time this month also doing our stewardship teaching. Remember, everything that you have belongs to the Lord. Amen. And that would include your children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. And so it's something that children are lent to you to be raised for God's will and for God's service. That's why they're lent to you. You can raise your children up and teach them to make millions of dollars, but if they fail to find the will of God, you failed as a parent. And more importantly, listen, folks, this life is a vapor that appears for a short time and vanisheth away. You chase everything the world's got, you're going to find out, you won't get 5-10 years into that pursuit, and you're going to realize how empty it is. And you spend a lifetime doing it. As a Christian, you're going to stand before God, and you're going to realize, you know what, I wasted my vapor. And so how to keep your kids off the mission field. I'm going to deal with some things, young people, that if you're not careful, it's crept into your heart and into your mind that may cause you. I mean, it's not just parents sometimes that recoil at the idea. There's young people. I mean, good, clean-looking young people and sitting in our independent fundamental Baptist churches are sitting there already with a determination that I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to go do what I want to do. And you need to be sensitive to the will of God. You need to be sensitive to the things that I'm going to talk to you about. Your pastor's going to give you good counsel this morning, and you need to really ask the Lord to search you. Lord, if there are some of these things that have developed in my heart and attitudes that might keep me from wanting to do the will of God, may the Holy Spirit help you this morning. How to keep your kids off the mission field. Go to 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. I'm going to read some things that will just be a blessing. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18. You could call this how to keep your kids from full-time Christian service. You could call this how to keep your kids from serving the Lord, period. But one of the things we've got to guard against in our life is creating an atmosphere in our homes that cause children that fight against young people having a heart to serve the Lord. How to keep your kids off the mission field. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish what? Okay, so people that are lost are going to consider the preaching of the cross as a waste of time, as foolishness. Lost people drive by on Sunday mornings, and they look at all these cars and think, what are those people doing? What in the world? Last thing they want to do, I wouldn't waste my time doing that. They don't think the preaching's of any value. They don't think the church is of any value. They don't think that sermons are of any value. They look at all of this as a big waste of time. But, and what, by the way, you can be saved and develop a lost person's attitude towards preaching. You can be saved and develop a lost person's attitude towards preaching. And so, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But notice the difference in the attitude of a saved person. But unto us which are saved, it is what? The power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Now, again, I'm going to stop and teach you some things before we get into this just from the portion of Scripture. There's worldly wisdom, then there's godly wisdom.
Yes, sir.
Now, please listen to me. There's worldly wisdom, and there's godly wisdom, and they're always in conflict.
Yes, sir.
They're always in conflict. The wisdom of this world is always in conflict with the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of this world views the wisdom of God as foolishness. But the wisdom of God views the wisdom of this world as foolishness. And so you have to understand there's going to be two schools of counsel, two schools of advice. There's going to be people that give you worldly, quote unquote, wisdom or worldly advice. And then there's going to be people that give you godly advice. And you have to understand they're always going to be at odds against each other. This is what it says. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man. Here's God's wisdom. Here's man's wisdom that God looks and calls foolishness. The weakness of God is stronger than man. Now, notice verse 26 on down. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world which and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Let's pray together and we'll teach for a while. Heavenly Father, please help this preacher as I go through some things that I hope will be a blessing to our people and our young people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Young people, thank you for being our guests. We've enjoyed having you for the month of February, and I pray that this has been profitable to you. Next week, I'll be taking the junior high and high school guys and girls, combining them and teaching them for probably 2 or 3 months, and then may swap back, and Brother Reiser is going to come up and teach the adult class, and I promise you, you'll be blessed and enjoy him as he teaches the Word of God to you. And so I'm looking forward to spending some time down there. How to keep your kids off the mission field. So this is advice to parents with kids listening in. Advice to parents with kids listening in, young people listening in. Number one, how to keep your kids off the mission field. Number one, encourage a carnal, lukewarm atmosphere in your home. Encourage a carnal, lukewarm atmosphere in your home. I've said this, and I think it is remarkably accurate. I've said this. I think it's remarkably accurate. I watch young people grow up and serve the Lord that comes from two types of families. I see them grow up and serve the Lord that comes from families that are sincere and dedicated and serious and non-hypocritical about it. I'm not saying they're perfect, but you know what? It's the real deal in their life, and it's the real deal not just when they're in church. It's the real deal when they're in the house. And so I see them come from the homes of sincere, dedicated Christians. Not perfect people. Good night. If we had to be perfect to raise kids, serve the Lord, none of us would have any children serving the Lord. But sincerity. And I think that's a good word, sincerity. We're to serve the Lord Jesus in all sincerity, the Bible says. That means it's real to us. I mean, there's not a double standard. There's not, you know, we don't put on our church face and then go home and put on our worldly face. We don't live on both sides of the fence. You know, we try to carry out our walk with the Lord 24/7 to the best of our ability, serve the Lord. I've also watched young people grow up through our bus ministry time sometimes and serve the Lord that come from homes where there's almost no Christian influence. I'm talking about sometimes the homes of drunkards. I'm talking about the homes of lost people. I'm talking about those that, all right, if the kids want to go, that's up to them, but I ain't have nothing to do. I'm talking about those homes. And I've watched kids come in, get saved, and you know what? There's, again, folks, watch this. There's no pretense at home. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying they're doing right. I'm not validating what they're doing, but there's no pretense at home. I mean, you know, the parents aren't trying to play both sides of the thing. They're, hey, if you want to do that, you want to live that way, you want to follow that direction, fine. I'm not going to stop you, but I wouldn't do that. And they're, you know, they're at least honest. You very seldom see young people grow up in a carnal, lukewarm environment and then want to serve the Lord and go and serve the Lord. Now, by the way, I'm not saying it never happens. I'm just saying, by the way, we got a gracious God. Praise God. God raises people up according to his will. But I'm just saying, young people that grow up and they see 24/7 lived in front of them, that this whole Christianity thing's really just a game that you play. Most young people don't really want to grow up and play the game. I mean, you know, if this is a joke, then why would I waste my time with it? If this isn't real, then why would I, you know, if we're going to say this, and your preacher's going to say this, and you're going to nod at church, but go home and live the exact opposite, then obviously it don't mean much to mom and dad. Why should it mean anything to me? Mom and dad's not taking it serious. Why should I take it serious? And so let me encourage you to live a sincere Christian life. Now, remember what I said a minute ago. I'm not talking about perfection, young people. You know, it's real easy for you to look at your parents, and I say that when a kid becomes a teenager, they get what they call hypocrisy radar, and they're always looking for inconsistencies, and so anytime somebody doesn't perfectly measure up, aha, you know, and yet you seem to lack the ability to do the same thing in your own life and see how many times you don't measure up. But I'm not talking about having perfect parents. I'm not talking about having parents that aren't still struggling and still growing and still trying. But you know what? There's a difference. Listen, if your parents love the Lord and they're sincere in their faith, they've given you a great example in your home. You know what? You love the Lord and be sincere in your faith. And so, number one, how to keep kids off the mission field, encourage a carnal, lukewarm atmosphere. We read over in Luke chapter number 3 in the letter to the Thessalonica. Jesus wrote this in the letter, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Listen, folks, I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want anybody looking at my Christian life and saying, you know what, in that area, he's just kind of lukewarm. I mean, God said, be cold or hot, but don't be lukewarm. And so be sincere in your faith. Number two, discourage your children from surrendering to full-time Christian service. Discourage your children from surrendering to full-time Christian service. How to keep your kids off the mission field. Now, parents, listen to me. Be very, very careful in this arena of conversation in your home when it comes to full-time Christian service. Don't discourage your young people from full-time Christian service. Don't discourage them. I think that you ought to talk seriously about it to them. I think that you ought to give some cautions. I do think that you ought to talk to them about the seriousness of it. I'm all for that. I'm fine with all of that. But I think you got to be careful that you're not discouraging your young people from being open to the idea of full-time Christian service. Young people, young men, young ladies, let me say this. Some of you, God's going to surprise. And God's going to come along sometime in your growing up years, and God's going to put his call upon you for full-time Christian service. And you know what? You ought to be open to that. You ought to understand that that's a privilege if God were to so select you. It's not God's will for everyone to go into full-time Christian service, but it's God's will for some from every generation to go into full-time Christian service. In every generation, God calls young men into the ministry. In every generation, he calls young men into the ministry. Well, if he's calling young men into the ministry, he's preparing young ladies to marry young men that's going to be in the ministry. So if God allows you to do that, you know what? You're blessed. You're blessed. Parents, be careful the way you talk about full-time Christian service. Okay? Don't discourage your children. Matter of fact, encourage them in this matter. You got to tell them, you know what? You need to have your ears open and your heart open, and you ought to be listening very intently to the Holy Spirit and his working in your life. You got to say often to your young people, to your children, to your young men and young ladies, hey, God very well could call you into full-time Christian service. You need to be open to that. You need to be, I mean, it ought to be something that we're encouraging, not something we're discouraging in our young people's life. I've had parents instruct kids when we take them to camp, don't you go forward and surrender for anything. I've had them say that to their kids, don't go forward and surrender to anything. If you feel like you need to surrender something, then you come home and talk to us about it, but don't you go forward and surrender anything. I'm telling you, parents, I worry about statements like that. Are you telling me that they're to ignore the Holy Spirit of God? I mean, good night. Come on, let's talk seriously about what you just said. Well, I want to just make sure, do you, or do you want to just get them home and talk them out of it? I've watched young men, my time as youth pastor, surrender. And you know what? On fire for God, and I've watched parents talk them out of it. Amen. I've seen it happen. Now listen to me. It's a privilege.
Yes, sir.
It's a privilege. There was a day, Mom, when, man, if somebody had a son or a daughter that was serving full-time in the ministry and they were a Christian, oh, my goodness sakes, what an honor.
Yes, sir.
That God would take one of my children. I mean, I hate to use the word bragging point because, we always got to be careful of pride, but that's something to be proud of.
Yes, sir.
That's something to bring up in conversation. You know, now we act as if the kids are defective if they do it. Something's wrong with them if they do it. Help us. Don't discourage children from surrendering to full-time Christian service. Number three, how to keep your kids off the mission field. Never get involved in the soul-winning efforts of your church. Hey, forget this whole shine the lights campaign. Your family, you're busy, you got all this stuff. Preacher, don't understand. Good night. If I lived your life and you was as busy as you, I'd be thankful that you even come to church when you do. Go ahead and just give that attitude out. Just go ahead. Don't worry about anything going on around here. Visitation, soul winning. Every time preacher preaches on it, just sit there and kind of look aggravated and, you know, never hit an altar and repent for not doing it. Don't ever let your kids see you do that. You know, just don't get involved. Don't ever try to get the gospel to anybody. Because if you do that and your kids see that it's not important to you, they'll probably figure out that's really not a big deal. Listen, folks, one of the things that we have to be aware of as adults here is that we have to set the right kind of example if our young people are going to be what they are in this arena, this area of their life. Okay, if lost souls aren't important to you, it's not going to be important to your kids. Okay, just say, nodding your head and saying amen when the preacher preaches on it. You know what? Kids see that, and then they see you never take a gospel track, never pass out a gospel track, never go knock on a door, never get involved in outreach of any kind. Then you know what? Don't expect them to grow up and think it's important. So get involved. Get your children involved. Children involved. I mean your little kids. Take them with you. Get them involved. Get your teens to teen soul winning. Get your young people there. Get involved with our project that we're going to be having. Hey, there's still a lot of blanks back there. And, well, preacher, I'm not sure what to say. Well, I'm going to print it out and laminate it for you. And you can sit out in the car and go over it and memorize it and go in and sneak a look if you have to halfway through. But, you know, after you do it once or twice, you'll know how to do it. And it'll be fine. And no one will shoot you. And if they do, you know what? We're going to have the most amazing funeral for you. I promise you. You're going to get the martyr's crown in heaven, and the entire church will celebrate you. Man alive, you'll be an example to our young people like nobody has ever been. So nobody's going to shoot you. Well, what if they throw me out? Hey, I've been thrown out of better places than that. So what, you know? And so, I think you'll be blessed. So get involved. Number four, find reasons to keep them away from surrender environments. Surrender environments. What do you mean by that? Well, God has traditionally used some things that just works in the life and the hearts of young people. I'm talking about youth revivals. I'm talking about getting on the bus and heading down to Evansville last month. I'm talking about church camp. I'm talking about missions trips. I'm talking about the kind of places and the kind of things where God, for a short time, is allowed to show your young people some supernatural things. I'm talking about preaching conferences, where sometimes you just take them and set them under the preaching, and they, you know what? They just get preached, just preached to. I'm talking about those kind of things. So be careful that you always don't have an excuse why your children don't need to be involved in those. Your children, your young people should be involved in what's going on here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. They should be. And you can't bring me chapter and verse and tell me why they can't. And I can bring you chapter and verse and tell you why they can't, why they should. And so, listen, it's not a mark of spirituality to withhold your children from being involved in what's going on here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It's just the opposite of that. And so find reasons to keep them away from surrender environments. Number five, allow them to criticize and hold in disdain men of God. Allow them to criticize and hold in disdain men of God. Now, if you do it in your home and your children hear you do it in your home and you allow them to do it in your home, then you know what? They're going to pretty much figure out before very long that why in the world should I ever surrender to something that's held in such disregard in my own life, in my own family? Allow them to criticize and hold in disdain men of God. Now, get off the criticize the preacher trip you're on. Get off of it. Okay? If there's something that you need to criticize me about, come knock on my door and sit down. We'll talk about it. Okay, but how is it that you get on Facebook and say it to 15 people, but you won't walk into my office and say it to my face? I mean, if it's legit, bring your Bible and we'll sit down and talk about it. Okay? But if it's not, excuse me for my bluntness, shut up. Because you're hurting the young people here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Okay? You're hurting the young people. Well, yeah, but I know. We're not perfect, but you are. There ain't nobody perfect. But I'm going to tell you, there's not a person that works on staff here that's not sincere and aren't dedicated to what we're trying to accomplish around here. And so get off of it. Next time, now listen to me, that means the next time you hear little sissy or little junior come in and cop an attitude about somebody on staff here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you shut it down. You shut it down. If they're hanging around other kids that think that's recreation to do that, you get them away from those other kids. Okay, but don't allow them, because what you're doing is you're allowing them to have an attitude towards people in full-time Christian service. What's that going to do in their heart? It's going to make it so they never want to be in full-time Christian service. So don't allow them to criticize and hold in disdain men of God. Thank God for men of God. Your pastor, come on, look, I'll help you if you'll let me. Your pastor ought to be held in high esteem in your home. Your pastor ought to be spoken of very respectfully in your home. Okay? I mean, you know what? I've never sat at the Ross table when my mom and dad were lay people, or even once he was in the ministry. I've never sat at the Ross table and listened to them roast people that are in full-time Christian service and criticize preachers, evangelists, missionaries, or men of God. That never happened in the Ross home. You know what? I thought preachers were pretty special people growing up. Man alive. I mean, when a missionary came in, I thought, man, that's a person of honor. What a privilege for us to have them. I mean, you know, I was told to look up to them, not hold them in disregard. And so please do that. Number six, never sacrifice as a family for a missionary or missions project. Never sacrifice as a family for a missionary or missions project. We had some of the girls in the church here that I think was it, I don't remember if it was Christmas time or sometime, they went to knitting and doing all kinds of crafty things. I don't know what else house to describe it. They did all kinds of crafty things and then sold some of those things. And I just got a thank you note this week from the Putney family for the extra money that was raised from that. Now, let me tell you what that did in those girls' hearts. What that did in those girls' hearts was make them appreciate to a higher level the missionaries, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Okay, if I get up and I say, hey, folks, it's February, and I want you to do one thing during the month of February. I'd like for you to give an extra offering to missions. And you take that thing home, and you excite the entire family about it. Say, hey, it's not just me and Mom's going to do this. Let's all pray about it. Let's all get together on this. Hey, what can we as a family give? And they see that kind of response towards missionary projects and missionary efforts. We've had, come on, let me help you with something. I've had a list posted on the back bulletin board for 40 days and 40 nights or longer on just a handful of things we need for the mission house. There was a time at Blessed Hope Baptist Church we'd have posted that, mentioned it once, and it had been taken care of. It's been up there for two or three or four months now. Nobody can buy hand towels for missionaries that are coming through the missions house? I mean, you know, you're that strapped. You just, you wouldn't, you can't, there's no way to sacrifice. You won't even consider, walk by and consider. Then why would your kids care anything about missions? And what I'm saying, church, listen to me. It's one thing to sit there and say amen when we talk about, well, we're a missions church. Another thing to put your money where your mouth is and sacrifice and get the kids involved and do something special from time to time. If you'll do that, then they'll think that it's important if you don't. If you got in your car during this month at any time and said under your breath to your husband, okay, now we're supposed to give something else to missions this month. It's not like, I'm telling you, every time he gets up there, there's something else. You said that, you just destroyed in your children's hearts. Well, they didn't hear me. Oh, they hear everything. Little pitchers have big ears. They hear everything. And if they don't hear it, they see the look on your face. And they see the roll of the eye, and they see the lifting of the eyebrow. And you know what? You've said more with that than you would have if you'd have spoke the words. What I'm saying, folks, is listen, get excited about missions, and your young people get excited about missions. If you never sacrifice, never get involved in any type of missionary project or missionary outreach or missionary sacrifice, then they'll grow up not having a heart for that. Say, preacher, this is all negative. Well, I entitled it, How to Keep Your Kids Off the Mission Field. I'll preach it next week, how to put your kids on the mission field. It'll be the same 10 points, only it'll be a lot more positive, you know, so... I try to fix things. Amen. That's what preachers are supposed to do. Number 7, don't let them spend too much time in missionary hall unless it's to flirt or goof off. Don't let them spend too much time in missionary hall unless it's to flirt or goof off. Have you ever had this conversation on the way home with the kids? Hey, kids, let me share something with you. I was in missionary hall and I was reading a letter from so-and-so, and you're not going to believe what happened. Let me tell you a cool story. Has that ever happened in your vehicle? Has that ever happened at the dinner table? Okay, are you seeing what I'm saying here? Have you ever gotten to one of your teenagers and say, hey, you got to come back here and read this. This is amazing. And dragged them back there and said, just read that. Is that incredible? You've missed some blessings if you don't read the missionary letter. Oh, preacher, but we read one every Sunday night, yeah? And we have over 56, 57 missionaries. And so that means you get to read one letter from one missionary a year. Okay, every missionary, you're only hearing from them one time. But they send, most of them send monthly, some send bi-monthly. So you're missing a lot of things that are going on in that young missionary's life. And I read every missionary letter that comes to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Amen. I'm the one that opens that part of the mail. I sit down and I read them all before I put them in here. Michaela, where's Michaela at? Is she here? Michaela is the one that I've asked to take and post them back there. But before they end up in the tray back here where she takes them and puts them back there, I read every one of them, and I'm going to tell you something, brother. I just rejoice and weep sometimes. You get to read about miracles. You know, I wish I'd have done something, and I'm going to, maybe I'll try to do it next year. I always have these great ideas when it's too late. But I was sitting there praying this week, saying, "How do I convey to our people how sweet heaven's going to be for you?" If you have faithfully supported missions, how do I convey that to you? And this is what the thought I had. And again, I thought of this on Friday, and it wasn't going to get done by Sunday. I thought, you know what? Maybe all I ought to do is just, we've got 50, I don't know, I get loose count sometimes, 56 or 57 now, missionary. Maybe I ought to just call every missionary and say, I want a picture of your family, and I want the picture of one convert and the story of their conversion. And just sit here and go, here's the Putney family. Your money, you just put in that plate. If you put money right now in this plate right here, just in this last offering, listen, every dime of it goes to our missions program. So some of that money is going to go support this family. By the way, let me introduce you to somebody, watch this, that you're going to meet in heaven one of these days. Boom, let me tell you their story. I think we could fill up 4 weeks of Sunday school next February doing that, and we just might. Amen. Now, folks, listen to me. These are real people that I promise you are going to run up to you in heaven and hug your neck. I don't think you're going to, well, yeah, but this is, I'm once removed from that conversion. In heaven, you're not going to be once removed from it. I think that those people are going to be so special to every single one of us in America that sacrificed to give. I think we're going to have eternal rejoicing, and I know biblically that we're going to enjoy some of the reward from their conversion. It'll go to our account. That's what the Bible teaches. It'll go to our account. And there's no way. I mean, missions trips are great. We're going to take one here, take some of the young people. You know, I wish we had the finances just to pack up the whole church and just, man, go to this mission field and go to this mission field and see. Now, we can't, but they're real people. And you know what? Their lives are being touched and their lives are being changed. And you can have a part of it. And so, I mean, that's exciting to me. I'm going to tell you something. If you faithfully give into missions, I mean, you faithfully give into it, heaven's going to be a happy place for you. It's going to be fun. Amen. Imagine those missionaries that are there bringing all those converts and then coming over and say, hey, you know what? All we did was write a letter. There's no way we could really explain what was happening to you. Didn't have a chance to meet him, but you get to meet him now. And I'm going to tell you something. Woo! Yeah. I get a little weepy when I think about it. I'm going to tell you, heaven's going to... Now think about how fun heaven's going to be for you, you cheapskates. you cheerful ungivers. Come on now. I'm just saying, you know, you got a chance to be a part of something. Don't miss out on it. That's good stuff. Amen. I'm going to get down there and amen myself in a minute. Amen. Woo. Glory to God. Doug Castle said something to me this week, and most of the stuff Doug Castle said I wouldn't bring to a pulpit. We were talking about when he was he graduated from a Christian school and went to and did time in the military, and he's into ministry now. But one of the things he told me, and I probably shouldn't be at liberty to say it, but I'm going to, and then I'll just have to deal with the consequences later, all right? But we were talking about missions, and he said, when I went off to the military, he said, I opened an account, and I left my dad my checkbook, a joint account with my dad. And he said, I deposited my check in my checking account. And I told my dad, Dad, every Sunday you write my tithe check out, my offering check out, and a gift for missions. And this is how much I want you to give to missions. Amen. Amen. He didn't take a four-year vacation from God to join the military. Okay, he told me, he said, I got up every morning and read my Bible. Never missed it one time I was in the military. He said, you know what? Every time that I could be in church, I was in church. Now, if you want to join the military and be that kind of a Christian, then go join the military. If you don't, then don't. Okay. And when Chad came to my office this week, we talked about him, and he's wanting to join the military. And I'll say that in front of everybody here. That's the kind of thing I expect from you if you're going to do it. And if you're not going to be that, shame on you. Okay? Too many young people using the military. It's a place to go hide from God. I don't think Chad has that intent at all, having talked to him. I pray he doesn't. But you know what, son? Time will tell. Time will tell. Okay, so I'm exhorting you in front of everybody. Okay? I got a lot of faith in you. Don't let that faith be misdirected. All right. But hey, you know what? I'm not going to honor vets and then tell none of our young people that they ought to ever go join the military. I'm just telling them this. You make sure it's the will of God. Now, I'm telling you girls, don't go join the military. I'm flat telling you, don't go join the military. It's not the will of God. Don't come in and tell me it was the will of God. It's not the will of God. All right, I got Bible. I got chapter and verse for that, so amen. But now, I don't even know what I was saying now. I'm just saying, hey, I'm going to tell you, if you've spent a lifetime and you said the one thing I'm going to stay committed to in this matter is I'm going to support missions, and you have that level of dedication I just described right now, heaven's going to be a pretty happy place. I got to hurry on. Here we go. Don't let them spend too much time missionary hall unless it's to flirt or goof off. Number eight, raise them to be prejudiced. Raise them to be prejudiced. Most young people that are raised prejudiced won't even take a look at the mission field. Now, you get on a plane, you go to much countries, you know what you're going to do? You're going to get off, and people are going to be a different color, and they're going to talk a different language. That don't make them any less important to God than you. You're not better than they are. Jesus died for them as much as he died for you. Okay, there's not white soul value and brown soul value and black soul value. and yellow soul value. They're soul value.
Amen.
You know what? Heaven rejoices over one African being saved back there in the bush as much as he does a white kid that walks forward and gets saved. Bless the old Baptist. Okay, so listen, they're all souls. And they all need to be saved. And they're all deserving of the gospel. Okay, and so you know what? Lose that. Okay, number 9, raise them to be materialistic. If you're raised and you know what? You're materialistic and you want materialistic things and you define life by how much stuff you can get and how much money you can make, you're never going to surrender to full-time Christian service. Matter of fact, if that's your goal, I can tell you flat right now, don't do it. But at the same time, I found out this. God's pretty good at taking care of his servants. I mean, me and my wife aren't complaining. And God's been good to us. Y'all seen I bought a new 2014 truck, didn't you? You saw that? Oh, no, that was a 2000 truck, 14 years old. That's what it was, 2000 truck, 14 years old. I just thought I'd mention that. That's a 14-year-old truck, folks. Don't have a heart attack because your preacher drove in the driveway with it. Probably older than the vehicle you're driving. All right. So don't. Good night, man. Preacher hit something new. Everybody has a heart attack. You know. We must be paying him too much. Look at that. He bought a truck. You know. But God's good to us. Hey, I don't have any complaints. God's provided our needs. I don't have any complaints. Hey, I don't feel sorry for people in full-time Christian service. I feel sorry for people who aren't. I really do. I mean, I wouldn't trade you for nothing in the world. I wouldn't trade your life for mine. But young people, listen to me. Get off of it. I'll tell you a story. I'll tell on her. I'll call her by name and tell on her because I like picking on Barbie. Barbie Lawson. Barbie Jeffrey. Was having a tough time about her second year of Bible college and wanted to quit. And I said, what's wrong with you, girl? What do you mean you're going to quit Bible college? And she said, if I stay here, I might marry a preacher. I said, well, yeah, I guess that's a possibility. There's probably a few of them around there. She said, I don't want to marry a preacher. She said, I marry a preacher. She said, I ain't going to have anything in my life. Well, I'd rather just say it and be honest and say it out loud than just carry it in your heart and fake it, you know. So I never have a problem with kids being honest. As long as they're respectful, being honest. I don't have a problem with it. I'd 100 times rather you be honest than be a fake. You know, I tell you, I don't care if you're having trouble. Come down. We'll sit down and talk about it. I won't yell at you. I want to help you, but I won't yell at you. But here she's on the phone blubbering and scared to guess she's going to teach her. She said, I want to travel. If I marry a preacher, we're never going to have the money to go travel and do anything. I said, well, that's true, because ever since I've surrendered to preach, I've never left Indiana. I said, girl, I've preached in 28 states. Have you been to 28 states? She said, no. And I said, maybe you ought to go marry a preacher. You know, here's the thing. Watch this. The very things that you're willing to surrender for God. I'm going to tell you something. The thing, you know, if you'll lay your Isaac on the altar, more times than not, God gives him back. You know, everything you think you gave up for God, you're going to find out somewhere down the road. My dad, watch this, I'll just tell you a cool story. My dad sold a little farm in Brazil, Indiana, when he went into full-time Christian service, sold it for a pittance, sold it for less than it was worth. It was his dream place, 24 acres. He fenced it with his own hands, built the barn with his own hands, had some livestock, just the place that he dreamed of having the whole time, and came and bought a place here and then sold it and moved in a parsonage here. And that's what he gave up for God. Later on, after me and Cheryl bought our little place out there, you've heard the story about my next door neighbor, Mr. and Mrs. Wright, and got to befriend them. And I told him one time, Mr. Wright, I said, if you ever decide to sell this place, and I said, I hope you don't. You guys are the best neighbors in the world. I hope you live here and live to be 120. But if you ever decide to sell it, talk to my mom and dad. And God worked it out. Long story short, they came to a point where they needed to be cared for, so they moved over by their daughter's house. They put a trailer in beside them, and they called dad and mom. They went out there, and for 10 years, I think you were there 10 years, right? 11? For 11 years, God gave back to my dad a little mini farm where he could where we had a little fishing pond. Didn't have that at Brazil. We didn't have fishing pond at Brazil. And little farm where he could run some cows. And you know what? Listen, somebody said this once about Peter. What is the story of Peter? And Jesus came to him and said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And so Peter left something he loved doing. He loved fishing. He gave it up to God. Then you go look into the book of Acts. And when the people from Cornelius' household went to find Peter, he was staying at Simon the Tanner's house, which was on the what? It was on the sea. And I think in little ways God just says, you know, you gave up this for me. Here, Peter, in your latter years in the ministry, I'm going to get you a little room and a little place to stay. And every morning, you know what? You're going to get up and look out your balcony and see the sea. They said he went to the rooftop to pray. You see him going up there and just looking out and smelling that salt water and that sea water. And you know what God gave? He gave him a little bit back of what he... Listen, I don't believe this whole idea of, oh, I'm going to give up so much. I'm just giving up everything. I'm going to serve God. Get out of here. God's debtor to no man. And God says in the book, you know what? There's nothing you've ever given that I won't return 100-fold in the kingdom to come. And I'm just saying, listen, get off this. You chase money, and you know what? You'll run into a dead-end road. You're not. You give up God to chase money. You think God's going to let you get the money? Yet if you give up money to chase God, don't you think God will bless you? Well, I'm not going to do this because I'm going to do this. You don't take the next breath if God says no. You know, nothing cracks me up more than an 18-year-old that says, you know what I'm going to do? You're going to do what God lets you do. Well, I'm going to go be this. Oh, really? And you're going to defy the almighty creator, thumb your nose at him, and you're going to go make your way, and you're going to win that? Go ahead. There are all kinds of dummies out there thinking they can do it. Check their lives out. Check their lives out. You know, all their bravado, all their chest thumping, all their bragging, all the things they're going to do, where are they? What do they got? What are they doing? By the way, how happy are they? Hey, there's nothing better than serving the Lord. Forget about materialism. Don't worry about that stuff. God will provide. Number 10, never use the church altar during an invitation. You know what? Your kids will never find the altar if you won't. They're not going to come kneel and surrender if you won't. Well, I can't use the altar, so I'll just stand here. Well, just come up here and sit on the front row because at least you sent a signal. Yes, sir. You told everybody, you told your children, you know what, I agree with that preacher said, and God's dealing with my heart, and I'm responding to it. Yes, don't use an excuse not to come. Come. Be tender to the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? I'm trying to help you. Blessed Hope Baptist Church has gotten a little, a little stiff-necked and a little stone-faced during invitations. Too many of you, 2013, you never been a knee at an altar. 2013, you never been a knee at an altar. And I'm not talking about two or three. I'm talking about what is becoming the majority of our church. Something wrong with that. Well, the Holy Spirit never baloney. I know the Holy Spirit. Excuse me, I know him very well. Don't try to misrepresent him to me. That's not going to fly. I know him very well. I know how he works, and I know everything the book says about him. Don't you hide behind, don't you blaspheme the Holy Spirit of God, blaming him. Because you've got stiff-necked and hard-hearted and untouchable. Now listen to me. We're not going to have young people that think that coming to this altar is important if we've got a bunch of adults that won't do it. We're not going to have it. So the Holy Spirit of God speaks to you. Don't you be so proud you can't walk up here and do business with the Lord. Hey, how many times do you see your preacher kneeling after a message? Yes, say, none. You're behind the pulpit. I didn't see you at all. Okay. Well, if I'm not standing up here, I'm down here kneeling. The Holy Spirit speaks to my heart. Brother, I'm going to respond to it. Try to set that example for the young people. Let's do right, folks, because if we do not, whether or not we want to understand it or not, all of these little things that may seem like little details packaged together, send a message to the young people, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and the young people growing up in our home. And we want to make sure we're sending them the right message, all right? Are you okay? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd use this in our lives, Lord. Help us to be willing to accept some exhortation, Lord, even some rebuke. May we be tenderhearted to you in the things of God. Lord, there's a world lost and going to hell. And there seems to be such an apathy. God, help us. Help us, Lord. Do something in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.